Romans chapter 8. Appreciate your prayers for us. We had a chance to have a little getaway this week. Romans chapter 8. And Brother Tim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and let's pick up in verse 5, Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do what?
Mind
the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. The picture on your bulletin this morning was taken when we were up north, and I was looking at all the pictures we had taken, and I was looking for something that just depicted peace. And I look at the waves there, and that trunk of that tree, it's not a palm tree, okay, so it's not like a paradise setting. And I don't know what kind of tree that was. I don't know if it was a white birch or something else, but just such a peaceful scene there, and we enjoyed just kind of a quiet time there. And so as we think of verse 6, for to be carnally minded as death, but to be spiritually minded as life and peace. These two verses going together, it's like, okay, it talks about verse 6 being carnally minded. Well, what is it to be carnally minded? What is it that brings life and peace? It reminded me of a pair of verses in John 3. Let's turn there to John 3 and verse 5. And these verses kind of explain themselves. John chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so back in verse 5, there are groups that come along and teach that, well, what it takes to be saved is you've got to be baptized. They come along and say, except a man be born of water. So it's like, sadly, in the Billy Graham Crusades, the safest place to listen to Billy Graham was at home. And it may sound strange to say, but the safest place to listen to Billy Graham was at home watching your television. That's kind of a rare statement, isn't it? Safe watching your television. Well, in this case, yes. The reason is because after Billy Graham's tremendous success in a crusade in California, he aligned himself with the Catholic Church, as well as any, basically any type of Christian church. And the problem is, if you went to a Billy Graham crusade and you came forward, the question was, is what type of church do you attend? And if you says, well, I attend a Catholic church, you would be assigned then with Catholics from a Catholic church, Catholic altar workers, to counsel you. And the problem is, the Catholic Church would say, sure, what Billy Graham has said is true. You have to be born again. And how you be born again, how you get those original sins washed away, is you get baptized. So we will be glad to do that. You come to the Catholic Church Saturday night, Sunday, and we'll be happy to baptize you, and you can be born again. You know what? That was in direct contradiction to what was being preached. Direct contradiction. Billy Graham didn't believe that, but by aligning himself with the Catholic Church and assigning them to Catholic workers, what happened? Well, Satan came along and snatched that seed out of their hearts. My wife's mother, now with the Lord, she was truly born again after listening to Billy Graham on the television. And after the message was finished, she went into her bedroom, got on her knees, and asked Jesus to save her. And Jesus transformed her life. Sandy's dad ended up getting saved a little later, and he transformed his life as well. But it's so important that we speak the truth in love and the whole truth, the whole counsel of God, lest people be led astray. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. You know, the Bible says, one sinner destroyeth much good. I brought that verse up to my wife. We were up at a little getaway place up near White Cloud, and one morning the lake was just, I guess that was the evening, actually. It was this way in the morning, too. But one evening, the lake was just perfectly still. It was like glass. The whole thing was like a mirror. And so we went out in a paddle boat, and someone decided to go out in a pontoon boat at the same time. And they circled the lake, I think it was twice. And I said to my wife, I said, see there, one sinner destroyeth much good. That two swipes of the pontoon boat, actually just the one, sent ripples across the whole lake back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of like sound, you know, in this room we struggle with sound echoing. And on the lake, I just noticed, you know, those ripples went back and forth, back and forth. And the sea, the lake, never was a mirror again that evening. And we got a chance to talk to a young, well, middle-aged, I guess, Amish couple as well up there. And so pray for them as well. They were out there in the evening as well. So indeed, one sinner destroyeth much good. Just one thing can spoil what we want to get across, can it? I mean, we want to shine the light of Christ. We want to be salt. Talking to someone else this week about that same thing. Oh, yes, when I was at the hospital this last week, and there was a man waiting there. He runs like a wheelchair van for people that need to get to the hospital and tests and doctor visits and so on. And so, gave him a gospel track and struck up a conversation in his van there, and about being salt and light. Our job is to make people thirsty for God, and that's what I want to be. I want to be salt and light for the Lord. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. So who is it that's going to judge the quick and the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's going to judge, not other people. So I've just really been meditating on the woman at the well and Jesus' conversation, and Jesus talked about. In fact, if you hold your place here, turn back with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I just want to live in spirit and in truth. This lady was an immoral lady. She was living an immoral life, just living with a man to whom she was not married. And yet she had a religion. And isn't that so common? I just, you know, people living like the devil, and you ask them, oh, yeah, I'm saved. You know, and you think, wow, no one would ever know it. It's like the hunter wearing camouflage. He's hard to spot by the animals because he blends right in. Well, wow, there's a lot of professing Christians that blend in so well with the world that they look just like the world. They talk just like the world. They act just like the world. It's like, wow, really? You're a Christian? So, in John chapter 4, in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the what?
True
worshipper shall worship the Father in what?
Spirit
and in what? Truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit
and in truth. So he was trying to get through to this woman that she needed to repent. Her religion was in name only, was like, yeah, you know, she talked about in verse, let's see here, verse 20. She said to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So for this woman, it was like, you know, did she show up on the mountain once a week or once a month or once a year? You know, it's kind of like people that profess to know Christ and, you know, they go to church on Christmas and Easter. Is that kind of the religion she had? You know, well, I make my appearance on the mountain, you know, every so often, you know. No, true faith is worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, it's kind of, when I was a boy, it was kind of a saying, you know, the Catholic can go out and get drunk during the week as long as he goes Saturday night and confesses it to the priest or whatever other sin he wants to do. It sounds like the priest had a lot of confessing they needed to do to somebody, doesn't it? All the immoral abuses they have done. But faith is more than just putting on a facade. It's in spirit and in truth. So back in 2 Timothy 4, it's Jesus that's going to judge us, verse 1. So what does he want us to do? Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And today, because of this woke culture, actually this is more like a sleeping culture. I'm not sure how they got the terminology woke. It's, you know, it's like all these strange things, you know, now, and they call it woke. You know, on campuses you have to have a safe place, you know, where no one can say anything that might offend somebody else. They're the opposite of being woke up. Those people are sleeping. Awake, thou that sleepest, the Bible tells us. So right now it seems to be out of season to preach the word, but we need to anyway. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will what?
Not endure
sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We were talking to the owner of an establishment that is dedicated to the Lord to be really a ministry, and my wife asked him the question, are your kids going to take over? His wife has already died 4 years ago. Are your kids going to take over? And he said sadly, no. He said they would never keep it as it is. So he's looking for somebody else, someone that'll keep it the same. They play godly hymns. And isn't that sad? It's so sad that in his own family, there's no one that'll really keep it going as it has been these years. And so he asked for prayer. And it's that way all around, isn't it? It's that way all around. Who will keep following the scriptures instead of the liberal compromising trends? It's so sad what happens. And so we need to be in prayer one for another. So back in John chapter 3 for just a moment there. So how do we know that it's not, Jesus is not talking about that baptism washes away sins? Well, it's because, as I said, verses 5 and 6 go together. He said in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So God knew that people would try to twist that verse. So verse 6 says, "That which is born of what? The flesh is flesh. And that which is born of what? The Spirit is spirit." Jesus makes it very clear. Being born of the water, I'm talking about being born of the flesh. Being born of the Spirit, I'm talking about being born of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't need water. The Lutherans kind of do the same trick. They say, "Oh, we believe in salvation by grace. We don't believe in works salvation." But the way you get salvation is it's delivered to you by water. Amazon now has started this thing of delivering on Sundays, and we deal with the post office a lot. And so they pressured the post office, if they wanted any of their business, you've got to deliver on Sundays. And so the end result of that is the post office now even delivers non-Amazon stuff on Sundays, certain things. And so there's this pressure to deliver. Well, so you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't need water to deliver to you salvation. A person can get saved in the desert where there is no water. We don't need that. Baptism is only a picture of salvation. So let's go back to Romans 8 anyway. So those verses explain each other. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, what can help us to understand what is carnal and what is spiritual? He said in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh." What are we minding today? You know, I don't know if it's still a saying, but parents used to say to their children, "Now you need to mind. You need to mind what I say." In other words, you need to what? Obey. You need to obey what I say. So, "For they that are after the flesh do mind," they obey the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So who are we obeying? That's the thing. Are we obeying the flesh? Well, if we obey the flesh, then the flesh is going to ask us to do unspiritual things. Notice with me in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, our flesh is weak. Little Benjamin there, my wife got the text that they were taking him to the hospital last night. He was unresponsive. And, you know, your heart just goes out to little children like that. And what was happening? His flesh was weak. They diagnosed him as heat exhaustion. Well, verse 41, Matthew 26, 41. It says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into what? Temptation." The Spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. We're no different than little Benjamin. When sin comes along with its heat and its pressure and its burning down upon us, our flesh is weak. And so we need to watch and pray. About the time we think we're strong, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. About the time we think we are strong and that, well, we don't need the Lord's help in that, that's the time that we'll be in trouble. In 1 Corinthians 10, and let's see, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that what? Thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he what? Fall. Oh, I can handle this heat. That's no problem. I can handle this sun. When we went down to Haiti, Brother Wall said, bring a hat with you, because he said, the sun down here, we're closer to the equator, and it is hot. And, you know, you may think you're strong, but that heat will get to you, so bring a hat with you. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then you go into verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. It's not just you facing it. It's not just me facing it. It's common to man. Why? Because we're all what? Flesh. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is what? Faithful. We can't depend upon our flesh to be faithful, but we can depend upon God. So, if we're depending upon God's strength, we'll be okay. But if we're depending upon our flesh and its strength, we will not be okay. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. That you may be able to bear it. I've had people say, I prayed that verse and it didn't work. What do you think their problem was? The flesh is weak. The problem was is the flesh didn't want to see that door of escape. It didn't want to. And so it didn't. How many doors are there in this room? Four. But you know what? If your flesh doesn't want to escape out those doors, it doesn't have to. And so that's the problem. People say, but I couldn't find a way to escape. The problem is the flesh didn't want to see it. And so they didn't. They didn't see it. So, anyway, back in Romans chapter 8 again. So, we don't want to be carnally minded. So, what are some examples of being carnal then, of being fleshly? It's like, is anyone hungry? Okay. My wife fed me a good breakfast, but actually, I'm kind of hungry already again. I don't know why. But anyway, I am. Sorry to do that to you. Now I'll get you thinking about food. But, you know how it is. You're seated at the table, and the first night, well, actually, it was the second night of our getaway, but we were seated at this place, and it offers meals and along with the stay. But I was hungry, and so it was a buffet, and so I went and got a second helping. And then I was too full. The flesh was weak. The flesh was saying, I'm hungry. You know what happened the second night we were there? I didn't go up and get seconds. I didn't. And so I felt much better. So my flesh was weak the first night. I ate a little too much and was miserable. The second night, no. So what is it to be carnally minded? I mean, fleshly minded, you know, is it sinful to eat food? Well, no. But isn't that feeding the flesh? Well, yes. But so what does this mean? What does it mean to be carnal? Well, number one, we are carnal when we disobey God's law. We are carnal when we disobey God's law. Look back in chapter 7 and verse 12. 7:12. Wherefore the law is what? Holy. And the commandment what? Holy. And what?
Just
and what?
Good.
Have you ever heard the statement, laws are made to be broken. Yeah. If you've lived very long, you've heard that saying. Laws are made to be broken. What is saying that? Is that spiritual to say that, or is that carnal? That's carnal. That's fleshly. Because the Bible says right here, the law is holy. And of course, this is specifically talking about God's law. But the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So what is he saying? The law is there to show us what is right and good, but the law just tempts us. It's like, no one's going to tell me what to do. We were at a section of road, I forget where it was, but people were going just under the speed limit, and we were on the freeway, and the freeway we were on, the speed limit was 75 miles an hour, and people were going a little below that, and I think it was because there was a state trooper on our left at one of the little roads between the freeway, and I just think it's guilty, guiltiness when people see an officer, they just, you know how it is, they slow way down, and so they were going below the speed limit, so I just went in the left lane and going 75 right by all those cars and right by the state trooper. And I noticed in my mirror then, he comes out in my lane. And I thought, I don't have anything to hide. I'm going 75 miles an hour, and that's the speed limit. And so he follows me back there a ways. I think what he thought probably was that that guy is passing all those cars, and he doesn't even care that I'm sitting here. He's like rubbing it in my nose. And so I'm sure that when he gets down the road, he's going to put the pedal to the metal and he's going to be gone. And I'm going to get him. And there was a car then, before he come out, there's a car between me and him. So I knew he was back there. Anyway. So eventually, everybody gets out of the way and he's right behind me. And I just keep going 75 miles an hour. And after a few miles, he pulls off another exit. So he's there. But, you know, that is the way human nature. It's like, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. But the thing is that vast majority of cars, as soon as he gets off an exit, what are they going to do? They're going to put the pedal to the metal and they're going to fly by me is what's going to happen. Yeah. So we are carnal when we disobey God's law. Verse 14. For we know that the law is what?
Spiritual.
But I am what?
Carnal.
Sold under sin. So one characteristic, if we are living carnal lives, fleshly lives, is that we disregard God's law. And of course, God's law tells us to obey the ordinances of man. And so that's a reflection there. But so if you couple verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. So then let's go to chapter 8, verse 6 again. 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is what?
Life and peace.
You go back to 7:14, for we know that the law is what?
Spiritual.
So how do we achieve verse 6, 8, 6? How do we achieve being spiritually minded and having the life and peace? How can I see a state trooper and my heart not begin to thump, 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 thump? Well, I can see a state trooper and have life and peace and have full confidence. I can go right in front of his nose and not be afraid. Because I'm obeying what?
The law.
7:14, we know that the law is spiritual. 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As I mentioned, a picture on the bulletin, I was trying to find pictures where we were staying. There's a little lake, and they're like gazebo-type buildings all over. And so I've taken pictures of them and the water and the flowers, just trying to find pictures that depict peace. So look then in chapter 7, verse 15, 7:15. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is what? Good. It's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my what?
Flesh.
My flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find it a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in what?
The law of God.
Do we? Do we really delight in the law of God after the inward man? It says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And that takes us right back into what we saw in verse 1, 8, 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." This man that owned this place told us that, I forget exactly how he said it, but in regard to his children taking over the establishment, he said something about, I don't know that they have the talk, but their feet don't match. Whatever he said was like, their walk does not match. Their walk would not keep that place going to glorify God. So I just pray as we have a few thoughts today that now we know one thing. If we're spiritual or carnal, if we despise the law, if we disregard the law, and particularly the law of God, then we're carnal. We're listening to the flesh. We're minding the flesh. But the problem is the flesh is weak. The flesh sees something sinful, and the flesh says, do it, or buy it, or take part in it. But the inner man says, no, it's the Spirit. So verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And that is the life all of us want to live. We want to live a life of peace, life and peace. So I pray that we would all be in God's Word, and not just in it, but truly reflecting it. Let us not be like the pontoon boat. He just had to get out there. I'm only joking, but he just had to get out there and spoil the picture on the lake. And just fill it with ripples. One sinner destroyeth much good. And the same in our lives. Just falling into some sin just can destroy so much good. Can destroy the reflection that we want to be of Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of life and peace. What a beautiful picture, Lord. We want to take part in that. So, Lord, help us to understand that all of us have flesh, and it's sinful. Lord, just help us to admit it. Our flesh is sinful. Our flesh is weak. And so, Lord, we do not want to mind our flesh. We don't want to obey our flesh. We want to obey you. So, Lord, help us to be in your word, to know what your law is, that we might live spiritual lives. Lives of life and peace. Lord, that's what we desire. We want to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.